Welcome to the Boss Lady Podcast. Whether you're an entrepreneur climbing the corporate ladder or a work-from-home parent, you are a boss. If you desire to make your life extraordinary, to reach and exceed your personal and professional goals, and learn from other strong leaders, then the Boss Lady Podcast is for you. As an entrepreneur, mother, wife, and former CEO, I share lessons and stories of both personal and professional successes and failures. Join me along with a diverse list of guests as we break down strategies, tools, and techniques that will enhance your career and your life. Together, we will embrace, empower, and educate each other. I am Teresa Rand, and this is the Boss Lady Podcast. Welcome to the Boss Lady Podcast. I'm Teresa Rand, as you heard in the introduction, and I'm thrilled that you're here today. If you are a new listener, welcome, and I hope you'll stay tuned for the whole episode. If you're a returning listener, thank you. I'm so excited about today's topic. I do not have a guest, but I have an enthralling topic that I want to talk about. And every year, McKinsey reports, it's a big firm, they do reports, they do surveys, all on the cutting edge of the workplace. And every year they do a report called Women in the Workforce. And this year's 2023 report just came out. And it is fascinating. I read them from cover to cover every year. They're about 60 pages, but just full of great information. So to give you a little information, this particular subject I'm going to cover today talks about what's going on for women in the workplace. Now, if you are a man, please don't stop listening, because chances are you might be supervising some women, or you have women in the workforce, your wives, your daughters, so on and so forth. So keep listening, because we need men as allies if we're to increase our responsibility and our role in the workplace. So while I'm going to be specifically talking to women today, this is a two-part series. And next week, I'm going to talk about how we can change some of the things that we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. That'll make more sense as I go through. But McKinsey and Company worked with 276 organizations that have over 10 million employees, and they actually did over 27,000 surveys to get the results of this report that comes out every year. I want to start with kind of the introduction of the report. And then, like I said, next week, we'll do some, what are some action items we can take to change some of these sobering statistics? So today we're going to cover four myths that are out there in the workforce, starting with number one, women are becoming less ambitious. I don't know about you, but I haven't really heard this myth, but I guess it's out there if McKinsey says it is. But the reality is that women are more ambitious than before the pandemic. And guess what is fueling that new formed ambition? It's the ability to have flexible work. You are going to hear that word so much throughout this report, throughout this podcast, because that's what we're all wanting and striving for, is some flexibility so that we can better manage our work-life balance. But 9 out of 10 women, according to the survey, desire to be promoted, and 3 out of 4 want to become senior leaders. So I don't know who these unambitious women are that this myth started by. Now, let me preface by saying I stayed at home with my children for 10 years. That did when they were smaller. That did not mean I wasn't ambitious. I still had desires. I had goals. I had things I wanted to do both for my family and outside of my family, even when I was a stay-at-home mom. So not every woman is in the stage of life where they're gunning to get to the CEO position. Quite frankly, some women don't want to get to that position. So I'm understanding all of that. But this particular report is about those women that are in the workforce. And if you are a stay-at-home mom or dad, and you're thinking about entering the workforce at some time throughout your various stages of life, this is good information for you as well. Here's what the report also found out about this myth, though. Not only are women becoming more ambitious, So are men. Men are prioritizing both life and career more than ever before. And that'll show up again in a few minutes. But women and men that are in the workforce are ambitious as a general rule. 9 out of 10, according to this survey, want to be promoted. So there you go, ladies. Be proud of your ambition and ask for what you want. Number two, the biggest barrier to women's advancement is the glass ceiling. That's the myth. We've heard of the glass ceiling. It was invented, the word, over 40 years ago to refer to this invisible barrier that prevents women from reaching senior leadership. But what we found out is that this ceiling really starts way, or this barrier, I should say, starts way before we ever get to the ceiling. The reality is, instead of the glass ceiling, it's the broken rung is the greatest obstacle that women face on the path to senior leadership. So what does that mean? What that means is that women face their biggest obstacle at the first critical step up to manager. Let me give you some statistics. For every 100 men promoted from entry level to managers, only 87 were promoted. And for women of color, it was only 73 out of every 100. And that number was down from 82 last year. So when we don't make it to that first rung of management, ladies, we are behind. And then we struggle to catch up. We struggle to even see the ceiling, whether it's glass or wood or whatever it's called. We don't get there because we're not moving up that first promotion as fast as men. Next week, we're going to talk about some ways to take action to keep this from happening. Number three, the myth is microaggressions have a micro impact. Microaggressions have a micro impact. Now, microaggressions, this phrase was coined in the 70s. And it really is, let me give you some example. It's when we feel disrespected and these subtle things that go on. It's not this macro aggression where somebody says, I don't want any women here. I don't want any people of color here. No, it's very subtle where men might interrupt the women on a regular basis. A customer may come in and a woman may be at the front and they assume you're not the manager or the boss, or they ask to speak to the manager or the boss when in actuality, it's you. Someone else often takes credit for your ideas. Being judged because of an accent. I can speak to this one as being a true-born Southerner. And then when people make assumptions about their culture. For example, I'm from the South, so if they start making comments about the kind of food we eat or the kind of car we drive or rednecks or whatever assumptions they have about people in the South, that can be a microaggression. These things can cause active stress and can impact our careers and our health. Because what we do is we stop talking. We stop showing up authentically. And when we don't show up the way we really are, we're going to experience burnout or unhappiness or stress at our job. And either we're going to quit or we're going to be miserable and we're not going to be as productive. So microaggressions are a problem, but here's the reality. Remember the myth, microaggressions have a micro impact. The reality is microaggressions have a large and lasting impact. Those things I just talked about, burnout, stress, mental health issues, being unproductive, unhappy at work, those are not micro behaviors. Those are serious, serious behaviors that affect our careers and our health. So microaggressions are not micro. They have a large and lasting impact on women. Number four. It is mostly women who want and benefit from flexible work. Remember, I said we were going to talk about that in a minute, because number one, when we talked about women were becoming less ambitious, we talked about men as well are just as ambitious. But the commonality is we still all want that magic thing called flexibility. So the reality is men and women see flexibility as a top three employee benefit. It's critical to their success and their company's success. But here's an interesting thing. Women still value that flexibility more than men, 89% to 83%. We believe that's because, as a rule, women still take on the majority of the childcare and household work. But flexibility is the new word. It is the key word if you're managing people, if you are an employee, all of those things. It is only behind healthcare as being the most important benefit. So there you have it. Four myths. Women are not becoming less ambitious. The highest barrier to women's advancement is not the glass ceiling. It's the broken rung. Microaggressions are not micro. They have a major and lasting impact on women. And myth number four, it's mostly women who want and benefit from flexible work. Reality is we all want more flexibility in our work. That magic thing called work-life balance is never going to go away. Four quick myths and the new theory, train of thought, whatever word you want to use. But the reality is this report is incredibly insightful. I will put a copy of it in the show notes. If you're maybe a nerd like me, you read all 56 pages. But if not, there's lots of graphics in there that you can go through and get the high level overview. But I'm going to talk more about this report next week in the next podcast, in the next episode of the podcast, because it's one thing to just throw out, okay, here are all the things that are wrong in the workplace for women, but what can we do to change it? And we've been working on changing it for hundreds of years, but that doesn't mean we're where we need to be, ladies. So it's up to us to keep changing and keep working and keep impacting and keep asking for what we want. Because while we didn't necessarily make this problem, and we can say it's not ours to solve, we need to be at the table making the decisions at companies that impact our work and life balance. And the way to do that is to know what the barriers are, to speak up about the barriers, and then to help the companies take action to eliminate or erase or at least minimize these barriers, because often our companies don't know what to do. We need to help. We need to be part of the solution. And we can do that. And reading articles like this are an incredible help in understanding what our role might be in making the workplace a better place for all of us. I want to close by saying I attended an amazing local Women in Business event this week. It was a great event, and I enjoyed it so much, recognizing over 40 women in our community for not only the work that they do, but the community action that they take. And I can tell you, ladies, I left that building thinking, or that event, thinking, without all the work that we do as women, the world would not be as great a place as it is today. So ladies, hold your head up high, pat yourself on the back, give yourself credit for all the many, many, many things that you do to better your family, your community, and your place of employment. We are important and we are powerful. So I hope you'll join me for the next episode when we talk about more actions to make us more powerful. Until we meet again, I'm going to close like I always do with my grandfather saying, he always told us to stop and take time to smell the roses. So until we meet again, friends, take care.